betrayal is in your nature.
I know, betrayal is in my nature. And it's like a co-op game where somebody has to...
It's a co-op game until it's not.
You don't know. Yeah. Well, you don't know you're the traitor until it gets sprung, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I was on Amazon, and I'm like, man, I want to find a new game, a new board game. So it was between Small World.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, that's a good one, too. And The Betrayal at the House on Haunted Hill. But I called my wife, and I was like, oh, which one do you want? I was like, Small World, it's like, you know, fantasy, the world's too small. And I was like, and Betrayal is a horror. She's like, that... The horror game. Get the horror game.
I would have recommended Betrayal.
The good thing about Betrayal is it's a different game every time.
Yeah, there's like 50-something scenarios, so every time you play, there's...
And it's like
you build this game. Can we get a description of it?
Yeah, it's like you build... I've never played it, but okay. I've read the description. You build a mansion.
Well, yeah, the idea is like every time you enter a new room, you are randomly assigned a new tile for that room to be.
Yeah.
So the layout's different every time, more or less. And as you also go into a room, you collect treasures and omens. And the more omens you collect, the more likely it gets that the betrayal event is going to occur.
Okay.
When the betrayal event occurs, whatever room you were in and whatever omen triggered the betrayal affects what the scenario is going to be from then on out.
Okay. What the betrayal is.
Yes. Like, I played one scenario
where... Yeah, give an example. That's probably better.
The traitor activated a machine or something that shrank everyone in the house but him, and then everyone was terrorized by cats.
Oh, no way.
That's awesome.
There's another one where a demon horde gets summoned. There's another one where the traitor's a werewolf.
Okay.
It's just, there's a lot of different ways it can go down, and there's really no way to prepare for it because the...
You don't know,
the
wind random.
The wind conditions are also random. Oh. And that cat one, the wind condition was all the tiny people escape by getting into a toy airplane and flying out the window. The wind condition on, I think the demon one was just you separate the traitor from his like item of power so that he can't conduct his ritual.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm excited. That's game night. This
I think the werewolf one is you just got to kill the werewolf guy.
Cool.
Oh, and then the traitor's condition is always, well, not always, but usually kill everyone else.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun. It's
awesome.
A great game.
I'm stoked.
They just came out with an expansion pack for it.
I think it was just announced today, wasn't it? Yeah.
A bunch of new scenarios.
Cool. Fun.
I didn't realize the game was as old as it was. Apparently it's like the 10-year anniversary or something.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I've played it for a few years.
Yeah. And we're big Ticket to Ride fans.
No,
in my house. Big Munchkin
fans.
It's
nothing like that.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I'm not actually a fan of Munchkin.
It's okay. It's like, fun when you get some kids
it's
around.
It's aping D&D, and I love D&D.
Yeah.
But I just...
It's better when you get all the expansions together. Like, there's a good Star Trek one.
Might be.
Yeah.
The Star Trek one's really good.
My problem with Munchkin is that I have no control over the outcome.
No, you
it's
don't.
It's all luck.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a lot of fun.
That's true.
Well, like in Catan, I like that if I play smart, I do better. Whereas in Munchkin...
It's just a different style game.
Also, it encourages you to be a complete and utter asshole.
Love it. Oh, man, my kids
sounds like
and
my
I,
kind of game.
Yeah. Dude, my kids will yell and laugh. Yeah, it's a fun time at my house when we play that shit, man. It's fun.
I didn't say it was a bad game.
No, of course. Yeah, I'm not... It's just not your cup of tea because there's no real strategy involved.
I guess not,
Yeah, you're on your own.
The strategy is just be an asshole.
True.
Be the biggest douche you can. And get lucky.
Essentially,
Man, I was playing that game with like my 5-year-old, and he drew like 4 cards in a row that upped him a level. And he was like, wow, boom! Like, damn it!
There's really nothing you can do,
man. Yeah. But so it's cool because my 5-year-old can have just as much fun as my 15-year-old. Or my 10-year-old can have just as much fun as my 15-year-old.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Playing the same game.
Yeah.
Cool. What else are we talking about? Is that what we're talking about? Board games?
We could talk about board games.
Larry'd be pissed.
Larry would be pissed.
Oh, that's his thing.
That's his thing.
It really is. It really is.
This could be our way of getting back at him for
not showing up.
So what's your favorite?
Board game.
Board game?
Yeah. I'm really partial to Ticket to Ride, man.
I'm a Risk guy.
Ticket to Ride's good.
Oh, I've never had a game of Risk end where they didn't flip or someone
didn't
flip
over the damn board. You just have no friends because Risk is like...
Man, There's nothing worse than being like Hispanic, and like that's the board game of choice. You guys are all laughing because the only way to win in my household is to lose. Because you're not beating Dad,
man.
No matter how good you think you are,
you got some Mao Zoo shit going on over here. The only way to win is to lose.
Because seeing him angry was the worst.
The towel and jewels.
The one time I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm gonna win. Yeah. I won.
Of course, my favorite
pick
thing.
Pick him up!
My favorite thing to do in Risk is to make a deal that I have no intention of keeping.
My ultimate goal is just to get you to move your army so I can kill you. I'm lying. Just by trying to set up this.
If I was playing a game where there was any element of trust I had to extend towards you,
no,
I would know not to.
Do not do it.
I don't trust you for anything.
Do not, and I'm a good liar. I'm like, dude, why would I do that? I'm losing. Oh, man.
You know,
I've like said that so much in my life. No, no, Dad. I'm losing. I'm losing.
Leave me alone.
Forget that I just took all of South America. Yeah. Like, just forget about it.
Yeah.
There's none. You can't do anything from that side of the board.
And then when you are losing, like you have four or five countries, just like, leave me alone. I'm losing. Why don't you pick on him? He's winning. And you're like, that's why I'm picking on you. I want you to
lose.
That's
another thing when I'm playing, like, going back to Montreal. It's like, fuck off. Why are you laughing? I'm like in seventh place. Just leave me alone.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I like Risk, too.
It's a great game. It's a kick a mother down game, too.
I like Risk until the end. Until the end when it's like just two people going at it. Then it's
going dice for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Risk can really drone on.
There's, it's okay, always so 5 million year Cybertron war.
It
always comes down. It's always 4 hours too long. I hate you more. Yeah.
You just end up finding a peace treaty, you know, getting a piece of loose leaf. You're like, okay, we're calling this.
It always gets way
signed
too
on the
intense.
Line.
There can only be one. It's like, no.
Risk is a friendship ender. Another friendship ender is Monopoly. And I've heard stories about, well, not stories. Okay, I've seen a rule set for combining Risk and Monopoly.
Oh,
so you
had
to play a lap of Monopoly to fund your armies in Risk.
Oh,
the game takes 77 hours to play.
Yeah,
and
that's
you
like a work
not
week.
Only you don't not only
in two work weeks, man.
You will plot the murder of the people that you play with.
Monopoly plays a lot better if you play just by the rules
in
the
you
book.
If you play the actual rules, then it's fine.
But people throw this, oh, luxury tax goes in the middle, and I land on free parking, and the dude who's just about to lose gets like $1 million that hasn't been touched in 50 turns. Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's a throw the board, too. At the beginning, when you can't be the car, what do you mean I can't be that damn car? Yeah, flip the board. This is over.
I feel like the dog is the most hotly contested one.
Really?
The hat was always been the car for me.
Yeah, the car.
Yeah, the car.
The car. Even the hat. I'm just not a
going
dog guy. And it's a terrier.
Well, the tap hat does make me look dapper as shit.
Dude, Slash. Perfect example. Perfect example. I mean, that dude's a dirtbag who you would like watch in your convenience store.
It probably
now,
is
doing?
A Guns N' Roses version of Monopoly, and they don't have to change out the top hat. They can just leave it.
No, there's little sunglasses underneath the top hat.
Okay, I guess it helps
it looks
modify
like the car.
A little bit. Yeah.
It looks like the car.
Okay, the sunglasses.
So Monopoly's a good one, but that's your favorite.
Oh, no. I was just bringing
Catan
that up because
probably for you.
Catan is up there.
Yeah.
It's between that and Pandemic, I would say.
See, I've never played the board game Pandemic. It's based off, isn't it based off like the video game that Madagascar sucks?
What?
Isn't that a game? What's that game? Where there's like a germ outbreak and you create your germ.
You've got it backwards. Pandemic was first.
The board game was first, and then the video game.
Yeah, there's a video game based off of it where you play as the virus or whatever.
You play as the virus. And Madagascar.
Is where it all starts.
Where you can't get there.
Yeah, it's hard to get to.
It's hard to get your disease there.
I don't know about the.
That's okay.
I don't know about
sorry,
the video game, but the board game is the opposite. You're playing as the CDC and like a collection of whatever. You're trying to cure the diseases instead of spread the disease.
Oh wow! And does the disease build randomly?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
There's an infection deck and a player deck. At the end of everyone's turn, you draw from the infection deck, and whatever cities you draw get disease outbreaks.
Well, and it's
I shouldn't say outbreaks, because that's a specific condition of the game.
And it's co-op?
Yes. Oh, it's entirely cooperative. It's all the players against the game.
Oh, that's a cool concept. That's neat.
So there's little to no point in doing things like hiding your cards or whatever.
Yeah, it's actually better. Dude.
Yeah, you're encouraged to coordinate your moves with the other player's moves in order to increase the effectiveness.
Oh, neat.
All the players...
All cool until you get the one Joker kid. It's like, I just want to watch the bro burn.
You don't play with Jules. But now, all the players.
You know, everyone's got that one friend.
Yeah, one friend is
terrible. You are that friend.
You don't play that person again.
No, you don't ever play that. Yeah. Don't play me. We win all the time. Yeah. I want to see watch this disease win just one day.
It's actually pretty hard.
Exactly.
Even with all four players cooperating, it's pretty hard.
Oh, really?
Every now and then, there's epidemic cards in the deck that just wreck your shit every time you draw them.
Yeah.
They put three disease markers on a single city, and they make you recycle the cities you've already had so that they get worse.
So it's real. It's like people are dying. It's just your turn, right?
Well, yeah, there's a... time you play, there's a live feed to a central hub, and they go to these cities, and they infect people in real life if you fail.
Oh, snap!
No, I'm kidding.
That'd be great. That's a fun game.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm going to have to try that one, too. But my kids probably would be more interesting. My kids probably wouldn't be able to get into it. Like, they can't get into Catan. Maybe my oldest, but my middle kid, no way. But even Pandemic, if there's, like, strategy work together...
Lots of strategy.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd pick up on that.
Like each of the players has a different power that they can use, so you have to like coordinate things like that.
Like what kind of power?
The best one is probably the dispatcher. You're allowed to move the other players.
Oh, cool. Into like better position.
Yeah.
Neat. But what about Catan? Go ahead, you brought up Catan.
Catan's great too.
It's a great. Oh man.
Catan is so popular at this point. I feel like I don't need to describe it.
It's got its own con.
It does have its own con.
Yeah. We still haven't heard word back from them, but we are hopefully.
Okay.
Gonna have press at CatanCon.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I went last year and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I got to play a few games. I look at a lot of
the big Catan sets they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, the oversized.
Yeah, they had
tournament sets. Yeah.
Yeah, they had some grids. They had like a Star Trek Catan that was the size of, you know, regular size table.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's
like
so
giant
cool.
Figurines.
Sounds intense. Yeah. A little scary.
I got a sheep mug. It was great.
Nice. What's your favorite game?
My favorite game is a game called Diplomacy.
Okay, I've heard of it.
My biggest problem with Risk is I, and my biggest problem with D&D is I'm a notoriously bad dice roller.
Yeah,
that's totally fair.
Demon dice can really fuck you up.
I could play the best strategic game of Risk you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It's so lose because I will roll one every single time.
You could have 100 armies on Australia and they're all gone in 100 rolls.
Exactly. And so I love a game. I love the game Diplomacy because there's no dice rolling. It's all just pure strategy.
That's cool. Well, what do you do?
It's like a
map.
It's a map. It's pre World War I Europe.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And you have units based on the amount of capitals that you are like major strategic points that you own.
Okay.
So you start off with like 4 or 5 units, depending on who you are.
All right.
And there's 7 countries. You play as a specific country.
Okay.
And basically, you just try to outmaneuver each other.
And what's the goal? To conquer the world?
To conquer the world. Like, I don't think I've ever actually finished a game of Diplomacy, so I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
How it actually
ends. Just goes on.
It just goes on.
Well, how do you move forward? It's like cards or something?
Everybody does their turn at the same time.
Okay.
So basically what it does is you have like 15 minutes to go and talk to the other players and be like hey.
Oh, diplomatic.
Diplomacy. Yeah, go do backroom deals and
cool.
do whatever. Yeah, and then you come back, and then you have notebooks, and you write down your orders for your units, and they can move one space a turn, and you reveal all of your orders at the same time, and you just move the pieces around, and you have to kind of outflank and outmaneuver your enemies to, you know, defeat them.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's a great
risk without dice.
It's risk without dice, and it's a great way to end friendships.
They were gonna lie to a whole bunch of people.
Oh my god. Like, I guess with at least with Risk, you can be like, hey man, I wasn't trying to be a dick, it was just the dice.
Yeah, no, and that, there's no excuse.
There's no sidestepping this one, Adam. You are an asshole.
I know.
You're a monster.
I am. Bill, do you have a favorite board game?
Hunger Games Sequence. I don't know if you guys have ever played that.
I've the heard
card
of it,
game
definitely.
Where you try to get like two rows of four. You've poker chips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It gets very intense when you play multiple people because everyone's going for the same rows. Mm-hmm.
I like Skip Bo.
Y'all ever play some Skip Bo?
I have played some Skip Bo.
Dude, drunk Skip Bo. It gets like, what? No, but my favorite game is Ticket to Ride, man.
Yeah. That's a great game.
I'm a classic fan. Game. It is. My kids just dig the hell out of it, and it's kind of educational a little bit. It's a map.
It's one of those games that has stood the test of time.
It really does.
And there's a little element of strategy to it. The last time I played, I managed to win by complete luck by betting everything on like the
tickets
card.
At the end.
Yeah, the ticket.
Yeah,
cards.
You get to. It's like, all right, I'm losing. I got three trains left. I'm just gonna grab tickets.
There's no way I can make my rail actually extend.
And then you get three good ones. And it's like,
yeah.
Damn, I already got.
Well,
those,
I got like
yes!
I drew like L.A. and I already had a ride through L.A. and I'm like, oh, cool, free points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I love games.
Yeah,
games are great. I love games.
Plenty of honorable mentions you can make. Like one game that I'm not gonna say is the best, but I actually have a surprising amount of fun with. It's called One
Candy
Night
Land.
Werewolf.
No, Candyland.
Candyland. No.
I've had fun with Candyland.
Oh, Candyland.
Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
So games that people older than five might play. One Night Werewolf's a lot of fun.
What is it?
One Night Werewolf.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's based off of cards and a phone app where
Weird.
Everyone's assigned a role, and some people are randomly assigned that they're. You ever played Werewolf? Like idea is like some people in the group are werewolves and they are against the other players, but only the werewolves know that they're werewolves, and it's on the other players to figure out who the werewolves are.
All right. Okay. What does the phone app come in?
The phone app kind of narrates what's going on.
Oh, like a VHS back in the day.
You don't strictly speaking need it, but it does help to kind of make the
back in the day they would have these games where you'd have to put a DVD in your DVD player and then you'd have to pick certain things on the menu to advance the game.
Man.
Yeah. Back in the day. It was high tech back in the day, dude. It's like, holy shit, dude. We gotta use our TV to play this board game.
Phone apps are inherently better at that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, same concept.
I think the other board game that I've had the most fun with, and it's, I don't want to brag, and I'm not trying to brag, but it's because I'm so good at it. Maybe it's the group of friends I play it with, but Trivial Pursuit, dude. I own at that.
I love Trivial Pursuit.
I own at that. I've played that game with my friends before, like this group of friends, and I said, you guys can roll for me and move me. And I still, dang, yeah. And but I said, if I get a roll that puts me on a pie, you have to put me on a pie. But if it's roll again or another or a brown, or you can go to the brown. And I still win.
Those listening at home, probably appreciate the smugness.
Yes, I am radiating smugness.
I don't get to do that one. What? As soon as we got Trivial Pursuit, they're like, Jules can't play.
Oh, really?
Because I know random facts. They're like, no. Jules cheats.
I think
how do I cheat? Because you know everything.
That's not smug, though? That's smug.
But they don't even let me... Because they don't want to deal with smug Jules. they're so annoyed with smug Jules.
I'm too good.
They don't even... I've never even played...
My friends think I'm too good for this.
I was like, come on, guys.
So I pop my top hat, put on my smoking jacket.
You ever played Once Upon a Time?
No.
That's a great card game. It's like you pull a hand. It has like typical things from fairy tales and stuff like that. And you have to tell a story.
Oh, I have heard of that.
You're trying to get all the cards out of your hand. And it has like places and like monsters and heroes and stuff.
That's fun.
And your story has to make sense. Otherwise, someone can chime in and beat you.
Oh, and beat your story.
So everybody's trying to tell.
And everybody kind of
votes. They're trying to get all of the...
Yeah.
But if you get interrupted, you have to pick up another card. So you're trying to get all the cards out of your hand while not getting interrupted too many times.
That's cool.
And it's sus.
How are you in control over interruptions, though?
You just lay
if you, like,
down,
stutter for any...
You stutter for too long.
While you're
so
say,
I hear opponent can just be like, shut the fuck up, Jules.
Oh, that's a great drinking game.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, so it's like, great. As soon as somebody says, you can really chime in, It's like, the pony came to this, and no, in the Dragon Age,
your stories get more and more creative.
Especially because you get bad cards. You're like,
yeah, exactly.
What am I going to do with the wall? And we're in the desert.
Yeah.
Because it has to make sense with the story being told.
That sounds cool.
So you can't drop the big iron wall in the desert while the story's being told there.
Yeah.
Gotta make it make sense. It's a really pain in the butt game. It has to take like so many steps. You can't go like three places before you get to the card you're playing. You have to start with the card you're playing.
That sounds awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
I played a lot of card games in my day.
We'd be remiss not to mention Cards Against Humanity.
Sure. Yeah. And I think Cards Against Humanity, not only is it a fun party game, but it's like the best party game because you don't have to know how to play it, really.
I don't think a game has ever made me laugh as hard.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
Best pairing I can ever remember was the prompt card was blank. Kid tested, mother approved.
Oh, no.
Well, then the winning card was Oedipus Complex.
What?
Oedipus Complex.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And that's got a bunch of expansions too now. Like their biggest box, like they'll sell a box for all their cards. It's like 4 feet.
Well, they do cool things. Like
it's huge.
They did an expansion pack where all the proceeds went to STEM scholarships.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I was gonna say. They do a lot of good stuff with their marketing. Like they give that game away for free.
Yeah.
If you can get it printed, you can have it.
Their Black Friday deals, phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're more expensive on Black Friday. Every year they raise it by like $5 or $10 more money.
What was the last one? Like just a bag of poop or something?
Yeah, it was the box of shit.
Yeah, a box of poop.
That's awesome.
They got a great sense of humor, and they do use their popularity as a force for good.
Like some sets have a hidden card. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think I have.
If you open up the top, the lid, and you look, you might see a card that's been pressed in there. You just get a knife and you cut the card out.
That's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. Mine didn't happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, you
would lose
her. Yeah. I know. I would hear about it, and then everyone else would have one.
Then you'd come in here, and you'd be so damn smug.
I look at my card. I carry it with me everywhere. I bet you don't have this card.
It's been wrapped into my floor.
That's awful.
What were you going to say, though, about Cards Against Humanity? It doesn't matter.
Nah, I can't remember.
But yeah, that really is a fun game. It's a pretty fun game.
And again, it's better the more drinks you've had. It gets more and more fun.
It really does. By the way, this is Geeks at the Square Table.
Oh, we're going to do
talking about
now?
Board games because Larry isn't here, and he is the board game master.
Yeah. Dude, he would have already talked about some obscure... Oh, it's been out of print for 30 years.
But I got one copy. No, you can't play it.
You know whose Larry impression I miss?
Who?
Christmas. He did the best Larry impression.
Who?
Yours was terrible.
My Larry impression is...
All right!
Yeah, it's not the best.
That's all I got, though.
Yeah, Crimson Chris.
Oh, yeah, he did a really good Larry impression.
Dude, I haven't seen him forever.
I actually ran into him this weekend.
He's on Baby Island.
I saw him and his baby at the mall.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, we talked about Batman v
Superman.
Didn't
he name his kid Grayson or something?
Of course he did. He's got Batman tattooed on him.
That dude.
Yeah, dude loves Batman.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like uncomfortably a lot.
Yeah.
He's cool. He owns the most Batman memorabilia ever seen.
As a mega Batman fan, what was his take on the movie?
Yeah,
what was
he didn't like it.
He didn't.
No, he did not like it. Well, he didn't like Man of Steel either.
Exactly.
So he was just like,
stands to reason.
Yeah.
Well, he hates Batman 89 because Batman kills two people. He's one of those, like, Batman is absolute.
Batman purist?
He is. So any Batman deviation. And same thing with Superman. He's a Superman purist, too. So the whole idea of those two guys killing people is like, nope, out.
That's the problem.
Well,
purists don't like.
I can understand that, and I can also understand people like saying like, oh, it's okay for the movie people to be different, but I feel like neither one is inherently a better argument than the other.
It's not.
Well, you know, somebody said to me, they're like, well, Captain America kills people. Like, yeah, he also did in the 40s.
He was doing it.
What else did you think he did?
He killed Hitler on the cover of the first comic.
And they're like, oh,
what? And Hitler's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Punching him in the
they were like, well, what about... I was like, you know, the only two people who have the rule of, like, not killing people is Batman and Superman.
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man doesn't kill people.
Yeah, he has...
Let people die. Punisher's kind of iffy.
Slight little bit.
You never tell what you're getting when a Punisher comic comes.
But you know, it's a funny story. If you think about it, Spider-Man didn't swear not killing until way into his career. Gwen Stacy's when he officially swears off killing. Well, I never really said anything before that.
I distinctly remember it differently.
Yeah, I remember it a little differently too.
He swears off killing because he wants to kill.
Yeah.
Osborne.
And then there was that time after...
He relents at the last moment, and he, like, gets impaled through the chest by his own gun or thing. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we were doing intros.
But yeah, Bill is doing intros.
Bill is hosting. Bill is hosting.
You have to say, this is the show and all that stuff.
Get on it, Bill.
This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 127.
Eight.
128.
I think it's 128.
128, my bad.
20-something.
It's in the high 20s.
It's before 30. Before 30.
Once again, we are fucking professional.
Yeah.
120 and an eighth.
It'll be on there.
There is 120.
You'll know before we will, really, by reading the description of the show.
You know
well ahead of us.
Yeah, you know what episode. Quit playing around with us. You know what episode it is.
Listen to the future. I know you know what episode this is. Because you're like 30 minutes deep. There's no way you don't know what episode.
At the rate these are getting released, this was probably recorded several months ago.
I know, right?
Jeez,
this is way old news.
Tell my wife.
But the host is very much Bill. Now.
Yep. I guess I'll go as Tara Bill filling in.
Oh, I love that, dude.
Thank you.
He already has a better nickname than you.
He does.
He does.
Ooh, it's the thing about Tara. It sounds like an Astro City. Name, doesn't it?
That's not like an asterisk.
Yeah, it's Tara Bill.
Yeah. This is the Irredeemable Gomer.
This is Adam.
Taylor.
The Insufferable Jules.
I'm
like an Insufferable.
I really like I get it, guys.
I was listening to 120 whatever is the one that got posted today on the way here. Mostly because I just like hearing my own voice.
We talked about faggot poop in that one, don't we?
Because you radiate.
Actually, let's correct that. The doozers.
Yeah, it's turnips.
Radishes.
Row of radishes.
Turnips,
radishes.
Oh, listen to you. Oh, turnips, radishes. What's the difference? You know who cares? Farmers care.
Okay. I worked at an organic grocery store. People are crazy about that.
People care.
I knew you were going to follow
that
up.
Fucking
with.
Fraggle Rock.
That's what he said last time we were talking about Fraggle Rock.
Exactly what you said last time.
But there was some controversy about where the doozers got their raw materials.
There was no controversy.
There was. I thought it was poop. I distinctly remember.
It definitely
wasn't
that.
Controversy implies more than one person is adverse about the subject. You were quite cross, but only you.
But yeah, they get it from the radishes in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a thing.
Then it becomes poop.
They jump on the radishes.
Trying to pull them up.
What else are we talking about? We can talk about more board games, man.
We can talk about free comic book day.
That's
approaching free comic book day.
That's coming up May 7th.
ROM Space Night.
Quite a few good books coming out.
Civil War 2, Zero.
ROM is digging a lot of circles. I don't know much about it myself, I have to confess.
ROM is one of the many strange Takara Tomy Hasbro properties that was marketed as a toy and a comic book without a cartoon, unlike most of the other
Transformers, G.I. Joe, those sorts of even Mask and those properties.
There's another property.
There were a lot back then.
Yeah, there were a lot of Hasbro. Oh, Micronauts.
Yeah, Micronauts. And that's coming back next week as well. Next Wednesday.
So, interesting fact.
By Colin Bunn, my favorite.
Micronauts is also coming back. Another toy... comic book that was prevalent without a television series. I think it's funny they both got those back.
Yeah.
But ROM and Micronauts both being not with a show. Yeah.
The thing about ROM
very
is
much a cult sort of.
The comic it was really just took
a,
off.
It was just
ROM was a very
comic.
Popular comic for a while.
And it was written by Marvel at the time. The properties like Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts,
well,
ROM was more high sci-fi.
Well, the thing with ROM was he actually was a part of the Marvel continuity.
They had a crossover and it worked. And everyone was like, oh, yes, ROM's in the Marvel universe.
I remember there was a brouhaha back when Infinity was first released that they had Space Knights in that issue.
But they couldn't have ROM.
They did not have ROM.
They weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
The Space Knights were actually created in the comic, which means they are owned by Marvel. That was part of the court.
Yeah.
That was like the countersuit. They're like, well, no, we own Space Knights, too, because that was in our comic. We own that comic.
But
they said, no, you don't own the comic. You own the character.
It can be rather interesting, all this lawyer shit.
I like it. Interesting. It's compelling.
It can be. You know, there's a lot of really fun stories about
it
back in like legal... Yeah. Wankery that DC and Marvel would do.
And like Finger getting his name on the Batman stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Damn straight,
that's awesome. And I like the story that, I mean, I understand these companies want to protect their properties and also protect their bottom lines by not giving people money.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to watch how they do that. Because a lot of the people who actually work for these companies are like, no, Bob Finger, he should have his name on this. I'm sorry, he should.
I mean, okay, Bill
but their corporate people are like, we don't care.
Bob Kane technically came up with the idea, but all the... design, a lot of the more iconic elements of Batman,
the stuff
came
that makes
Bill
him
Finger.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
It was his idea to have most.
Oh, did
of
I call
the
him Bob?
Bill.
Yeah. I called him Bob.
You called him Bob.
Sorry. Yeah.
Bill Finger. He came up with a lot of the things like the blank eyes, the color scheme, the cape, the ears.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much Batman.
Yeah.
Bob Kane's original design was pretty hokey. It was
like blonde hair guy,
red suit.
It was red.
The bat wings were like. Went huge. Down his armpits and everything.
Yeah. This is pretty terrible.
It was weird. But man, that issue's worth so much money.
Yeah.
Those sketches.
Yeah. No, but yeah, the lawyering stuff. But go ahead, back to Rom.
Back to Rom. I still don't know if Micronauts is going to have Bug, because if you guys remember a couple years ago when Marvel lost the Micronauts, Bug was in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that Bug's not coming.
So Marvel still owns Bug?
I think so.
That's weird to me.
It's all that ownership of property.
That's so
is
weird.
Really
that,
weird.
That's
man.
The only Micronaut. And he's an original Micronaut.
Yeah. So we'll see, though.
We'll see, I had that story.
That's how we'll know.
Yeah.
When reading the book. We don't know who owns what yet.
But yeah, so those two books are known for their cult
Colin
class.
Bunn knows.
Oh, God.
Right, he's doing the Micronauts.
Yeah, I know he's doing the Micronauts. I'm
what's his name's doing the ROM? The guy, Wagner, I think?
Yeah.
At IDW.
The guy.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
I just want
And I'm excited for the well, ultimate, you know, inevitable crossover that we'll get with Transformers.
And Micronauts, probably.
All of it. And G.I. Joe as well.
Yeah, they all used to crossover a lot.
It's been a long time coming for an... Well, I guess they're doing one now. I was going to say it's a long time coming, but they're not doing a proper Transformers G.I. Joe crossover. It's just the one that has been going on for a year, I guess.
Because they're still trying to fix G.I. Joe.
Yeah. G.I. Joe is possible.
Yeah, it's such hard. A wreck right now.
They tried to do what they did with Transformers by updating the characters and making them more like real people, but
they just need to do a soft reboot.
Soldiers, modern day soldiers are just, it's hard to get a perspective if you're not in the military.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure, you can tell war stories, but they're all the same, and you don't get really, you can't get a dude with PTSD hanging out while he's in the military. They're going to put him in whatever, you know, not like
what,
in Transformers.
What can G.I. Joe be like Transformers where the war's over and we get to deal with that?
And what, Major Blood and Duke are kicking it? No, it doesn't work like that.
Oh, that'd be awesome, though.
It works in Transformers.
Maybe they can give the movie route and just have Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Show up, yes! Because he'll
and I would buy that issue.
Yeah.
He saves franchises.
He saves franchises.
He saved Fast and Furious. He saved G.I. Joe,
mm-hmm.
which is why he got brought up.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
he's Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
He saved WrestleMania a couple times,
more than once.
What else are we talking about? Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, back to Free Comic Book Day. Big Two are gonna, as always, are gonna be pimping their big events. We're gonna get a Civil War II thing from Marvel.
Number Zero.
Yep.
And then from DC, what's their thing?
I think it's a Rebirth.
Yeah, it's a Rebirth.
Yeah, makes
Rebirth
sense.
Zero by Jeff Johns. I think is what it is.
Well,
it's free. I'm really excited.
So, I'm more excited about the Rebirth than I am Civil War 2, because I know what I'm going to get out of Civil War 2.
Civil War 2 is just a terrible cash grab. Kind of like that's all it is.
And we'll see. It's a Bendis story.
I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. Oh, it's a Bendis, damn it.
It is. And Marquez, though.
I was going to give it the benefit of the doubt, but then I heard
Bendis. Bendis's events have always been good, though.
They have.
Bendis,
okay, I like Siege. Siege is actually
House
one
of
my
M.
favorite.
I liked House of M.
I
liked
House
Siege.
Of M, man.
And you know what? Fudge all you guys. I liked Secret Invasion.
I didn't mind Secret Invasion. I didn't mind Secret Invasion.
I didn't like what Secret Invasion represented.
I didn't mind that.
But as a story, it's a great little read.
I liked how Secret Invasion was the cherry on top of Bendis' whole thing.
Yeah.
And how there were hints back in, like, New Avengers number one.
Dude, the first
now,
issue
yeah,
when they run into Jarvis.
Siege is actually one of my favorites.
Got the green. And they make a comment about Jessica's eyes. Spider-Woman's eyes. They talk about her eyes being greener than normal.
Secret Invasion was fine.
I like Secret Invasion.
Siege is actually one of my favorite events. And
the Thor event, of course.
Yeah. I'm not as big on House of M as the rest of you guys are, but it was
fun. House of M.
I liked House of M a lot.
I liked it a lot. I
like
any time
the
Avengers and the X-Men do stuff together.
There was, like, no climax to it.
It was kind of just a story in the midst of another ongoing.
And also they would
event.
Do things like, okay, like, someone would bring up a legit point about how, like, okay, so why is our reality more... why is our reality better than this reality? Like, what gives us the right to kind of...
Exactly.
Okay. And they were just like, shut up, Spider-Woman, and it just moved on and never brought it up again.
Yeah.
Two things
that's a good point. She's right. Yeah, it is a good point.
Well, that's because that's not regular Spider-Woman also.
Yeah, that's true. That's a scroll at that point.
That's the best issue.
But that is, though.
That is the best issue.
And he wrote that. Guarantee he wasn't thinking.
No. Yeah, he was.
He may have.
Scroll's opinions don't matter. In the first issue, you run into Spider-Woman, he hints at her being a Skrull. Because he reveals it in an issue later, where you see her whole perspective as going in as the Skrull and being in the House of M.
I love
the best issues of that series.
That was a pretty good
Peter Parker in that.
That's an awesome, that's the best tie-in for Skrull.
I loved Spider-Man in the end of House of M.
Oh, dude.
Because he got everything back.
Yeah.
He got
heartbreaking. Oh, he was happily married with Wednesday.
He was two best things to take away from the signs of a
so upset.
He's so upset. He hits the table in Avengers Tower. Like, it's not fair, you know?
Yes.
And he wants revenge. You can tell that's how mad he is. Yeah.
Two things are awesome about that story. Spider-Man and Wolverine.
What about Wolverine?
That's how he remembers everything. Everyone forgets, but House of
Wolverine is the reason.
How he got everything back.
Yeah. That's how he got all his memories back.
You remember he wakes up in the grass and he's like, I remember
Wolverine
everything.
Origins is, starts right after House of
Yes.
I have
and
all
that's
of those
how they explain
issues.
That.
Away.
Yes.
It's a great series.
It's a great series. But that series also comes out of that one page.
That's right.
First issue of House of M.
Yeah.
Wolverine remembers.
Because his memory
everything.
Was so screwed up that the Scarlet Witch couldn't figure it out. So she just gave him everything.
She just gave him everything. Yeah. Yes. That's an awesome moment.
We don't have to talk about House of M anymore.
Yeah.
But it's Layla Miller, too.
Yeah.
That's although Peter David made Layla Miller.
Yeah.
But Bendis did the creator. Yeah.
I'm not down on events like a lot of people that seem to be like, okay.
I love events.
I don't like events at all.
I love events, man.
I like a good event. Secret Wars was one of the best fucking things I've ever read.
It was so good. There were problems, but it was amazing. Mostly scheduling.
I got nothing bad to say about
mostly
it.
Mostly the scheduling.
That's why scheduling. I got nothing bad to say about it. I got nothing bad to say about the story.
I like well-planned, thought-out events that mean something. Like Infinity and Secret Wars were fine because they were planned out years
ago. Yeah, they were part of Hickman's,
they're part of
like
a grand epic story, but then you have little tiny events and crossovers, like the one that's going on right
now.
Standoff. Standoff. I hate Standoff.
Is that an event though? It's more of a crossover.
It's a crossover. It's a crossover.
Let's call it a crossover. Let's get into semantics. But Adam brings up a good point that I have been having to drop some books that normally I would be picking up
because
they're
tying
in. I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Because they're tying
into the
crossover.
They're picking up Immedius Res with the other Standoff stuff, and I don't know what's going on.
They're tying into the crossover. There's three kinds of events. There's an event book, like Civil War, where it's 1 through 5 or 1 through 8 or Secret Wars.
And there are crossovers,
and then
specifically an event.
There are crossovers and tie-ins.
Well, yeah,
a crossover, like for Civil War 2, there's an X-Men Civil War book, 1 through 3.
Yep.
That's a crossover.
That's a crossover.
That's a self-contained
Battle
crossover.
Battle of the Atom's a good analogy. That
Agreed.
Was also a crossover.
That was a crossover, yeah. And it had two bookend tie-ins to it, standalone one-shots. And then some books tie in. Like, everything is tying into the Standoff that's going in right now. Everything gets the brand on the top that says Standoff. And yeah, there are some... Yeah, I don't like that either.
I hate that brand.
Some are better than others. But I would say, on the whole, most of the Marvel comic events that were just events with books that were a miniseries of a self-contained event have been good.
More good than
bad. You know what? More good than bad.
Valiant's Book of Death was really good.
4001 AD looks great.
Valiant's really good.
Valiant's really good.
But Valiant has because they only do like one.
Well, yeah.
It's
one every 2 years.
Everything is still self-contained.
One every 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Valiant knows how to keep its universe in order.
Valiant is good.
It's small enough that it can do.
Yeah,
they have an advantage that Marvel doesn't, that they don't have the massive scope. But
exactly.
Yes, they totally deserve their credit for keeping all their spinning wheels in motion in good alignment.
They definitely have the best self-contained universe in all of comics, but it's because they only have 8 to 12 books a month.
Yeah.
When Marvel's spitting out 30 books a month, it's tough. Mm-hmm.
They should be doing better, and they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
But
and that's my point to people.
Now.
They should be doing better because they only have to keep continuity within 12 damn books.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be easy.
They're expanding. Every year they've had more titles available.
But they've also let some go.
Yeah. But they're playing Moneyball. Like,
sure.
A couple years ago it was only 4 books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then the year after that it was
they've got some
7
savvy
books,
managers.
And now it's like it's up to 10 books.
And they've got a movie coming out next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, so
they're
good.
Doing well.
What else? Free comic book
Rebirth, though, we kind of glossed over it. I'll pick up the free issue and see if it's something I'm interested in. Although, I don't...
That's not crapping on DC. I'll pick up the free issue.
I'll pick up a bunch.
I'll definitely pick up the free one, but I am neither excited for or nor dreading Rebirth. I don't know what to think about it.
There's a lot of titles I'm excited for, but Rebirth in and of itself, I don't know what to expect.
So fast.
That's part of the reason why I am excited for it, because I know exactly what I'm going to get with that Civil War.
Oh, sure.
I know exactly what Bendis is going to give me.
Yeah.
It's the same thing he's been giving me for years.
And it's solicited that way. It's solicited where there's an Inhuman who could tell the future, and they're fighting over whether they should know it or not. It's
Minority Report. I don't know what the hell is going to happen in Rebirth.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
You didn't know what the hell was going to happen in Countdown. You didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
Countdown was the worst.
It's the track record that you're getting back to. The track record of DC is not... I liked 52, New 52 at the beginning.
I like 52.
A lot of... Well, no, New 52.
I feel like a lot of 52.
Yeah, 52 was okay.
52 with the 1 year.
It was okay.
1 year was 52 was okay.
Filled in the gap.
I like Infinite Crisis. That was actually one of the first things I ever read. Infinite Crisis back in the day.
Okay.
I hated Infinite Crisis.
I like it.
Oh, here we go again.
Okay, well...
I like everything.
Do you remember who wrote Infinite Crisis? Because that's the conversation we had last time.
Okay, but anyway, I like Sinestro War. I liked Blackest Night.
Yeah, I like Blackest Night.
Well, yeah, you're just naming off
Final Crisis. Those are events.
Final Crisis was all right.
Well, those are events.
Final
that follow
Crisis read better after
just
it was
the crossover.
All out.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, no, they follow the same thing. They're like the Secret Wars and Infinity. They are
self-contained.
They are events that were planned out way beforehand. Yes. They mean something. They're part of the actual ongoing story.
Yeah.
Whereas something like what was the last
Trinity thing? The Trinity
Trinity War was stupid.
It was.
Trinity
it wasn't
War
planned
was
well.
Misleading.
Even Cold War. I felt like nothing happened.
That's your biggest thing on it. Was misleading. You thought it was going to be.
You thought it was going to be three
Wonder Woman fighting.
Not an actual like armies war thing.
Sure.
No, but like
yeah.
I thought there would be.
I know.
Like. I guess they couldn't have called it series of minor misunderstandings, but that's what it was.
And I think that's an example
super misleading. Justice League Dark, America, and Justice League looked like they were about to go at it, and none of that happened.
Yeah.
None of that happened.
The end of that arc was the thing that made me drop off of New 52 Justice League.
The thing about...
Because it's like, it's just the fucking crime syndicate. I've seen this before.
The New 52 fell victim to event fatigue in a way that I don't think a comic book publisher has ever had it.
They were just one after another.
And they weren't events in the scope of the overall thing. Like, Standoff is all an Avengers event.
Yeah.
The Battle of the Atom was all the X-Men. And that's a little different than what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because they would have a whole Superman event going on, where you had to buy all four Superman books.
Every
damn Batman event went crossed over or tied into every other Batman book. The Green Lanterns, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but if you were reading just Batman, you couldn't do the crossovers.
Sure, but if you wanted, but most of their events were not like that. And you had to read three or four Green Lantern books.
They were doing Death of the Family. They did a good job of the stuff that was going, or like in Night of the Owls.
Okay.
There were lots of books out there that I could have gotten out and read, but I didn't have to, and I appreciated that.
And that was only in Batman, though. Adam's the most DC read fan of New 52, at least. Honestly, to read the Green Lantern especially, you had to buy all the Green Lantern books to read the third one. And to read the
Then you
cube.
Couldn't jump on Green Lantern with
and
New
you
52
jump
number
on.
One.
No,
it
no.
was a continuum.
No, that's
not
the only time you
could have jumped on the Green Lantern was when Johns left and Vendetti started.
Sure.
That was the only jump on
time.
Point.
So
because the whole
when it got bad.
The whole first 20 issues
jumping
off
of the cruise liner and onto like the burning wreck.
But the whole
burning wreck.
The whole first 20 issues of Green Lantern was just Johns wrapping up his run from the 60 whatever issues he did
pre-New 52. To me, the biggest issue with New 52 in event fatigue was there was too many events going on at the same time. Night of the Owls was happening to all the Bat books, while the Third Army was happening to all of the Green Lantern books.
And the Superman had things.
Throne of Atlantis was happening to the Justice League. And Superman had something going on.
Throne of Atlantis is the second best event.
Most of the events were great. It's just
besides Dark Side
War,
Throne
of
Atlantis
was amazing.
Can we talk about
Wonder
Woman, which was a phenomenal book when Brian Azzarello was on it? It had no events.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was self-contained.
There was no secondary Wonder Woman book.
Brian Azzarello.
There's no Wonder Woman family, quote
family. Anyone who hasn't read Brian Azzarello, Cliff Chang's run on Wonder Woman, you would be well advised to check it out.
I would say it's the best book out of the New 52.
I would say it's the best Wonder Woman story.
Yeah,
I don't know about that, but it's our best book out of New 52.
It was Blood and Guts, and what was the third volume?
I couldn't tell you.
Ah, whatever.
But it's great.
That was the only breath of fresh air you had from events. If you were reading all the DC
Flash
at the time.
Didn't go crossover.
Flash and Wonder Woman, and that's it.
There were other books that didn't cross over.
All the Justice League books had tie-ins.
Didn't cross over.
Well, they'd all happen at the same time.
Tied in with Trinity War, didn't it?
It may have.
Yeah, it did. And Constantine was stuck. All of the dark books got stuck in a really bad crossover.
Oh, that's
during Forever Evil.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That lasted forever.
Yes.
And it was terrible. It was god awful.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it was. It was awful.
It was awful. They did that DC Villains Month.
The Blight. That was actually the best month they had for New 52.
Well, speaking more broadly,
because they had those holographic covers.
You could argue that DC was ill-advised in the first place to try and incorporate a lot of these characters who really don't belong in the DC universe proper, like Constantine, like Apollo and Midnighter.
Constantine,
especially Jenny fucking Quantum, who's goddamn invincible. Like,
yeah.
You don't want a character like that.
I think they did an okay job of putting Constantine in the universe.
They've done
but
better.
He's not
his
as
latest
good,
book.
But he's not as good as he was in Hellblazer. It's not as good as Hellblazer.
Well, part of that is hard to do just because you don't have like Alan Moore and
sure, but they could put a creator on
put
there.
Put Jeff Lemire on that
do,
book.
Yeah, they That'd could put good. A creator on there who could do a good job. And there's another book. The Green Arrow book was good. It didn't cross over at all, right? And it was good, especially while Lemire
was
on it.
No, I don't think it did cross over when he was on it.
Yeah. No, it was terrible when it first started.
The Green Arrow book.
Yeah,
well,
it wasn't
him on it, though, was it? Was it Snyder on that?
No,
Snyder was on Swamp Thing.
Which was good job, Bill. Swamp Thing crossed over with Animal Man.
It did.
But that was
fantastic.
But that seemed like a necessary crossover.
And that was a good event. The Red and the Green, that was a great event.
I take back what I said. Animal Man was the best New 52 book.
Oh, yeah, Animal Man was good.
Hands down.
With Lemire on it. But I don't think it was, it didn't start. Did it start right at the beginning of New 52?
Yeah.
It was added.
It was, no, it was
the
start
of the beginning. Right, so yeah, there were some gems in there, man.
And it was a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
It was a heartbreaker.
I'm hoping that Rebirth will win me over with a lot of books.
Definitely on board for 4 or 5 of those books.
Yeah, we talked a few weeks ago. Things like Wonder Woman, Cliff Chang, Gene Lang, Yang's Superman book.
It looks good. Have you seen any of the other stuff? They got the costume. It's a lot more red.
Yeah.
I saw
For China, that
it's like
works.
Super hyphen.
Someone
man.
Mentioned it's neat to see a Chinese superhero not involved with Kung Fu or anything.
And his name is Kanan something. Kanan.
Oh, it's like
Kanan Kong
or something.
Yeah,
Kong.
Kanan Kong.
Kanan
Kong.
Apparently, he even
it's
went.
Chinese.
He even broke down why he picked the name.
Dude,
that was
so
yeah.
academic, you know, to do that. And because, I mean, there is a cultural barrier there that I think he's trying to break down a little bit by making an iconic American piece of pop culture and turning it into a Chinese piece.
This is kind of something.
It's weird.
This is more along the lines of what I was hoping for when they announced he was going to be writing Superman in the first place, because he has past works, things like Boxers and Saints and American Born Chinese.
Sure.
That's what they're about.
Yeah.
It's kind of bridging cultures, and like I feel like that would be a good story for Superman, someone who's like having to kind of live in two worlds at the same time.
Yeah, it's a good mirroring of that.
That would have been cool to see him take on, but he never got the chance because he was always
of events.
Always stuck in events.
He was always having to tie
Superman
in with what other people were doing.
Oh, just so bad. But I think it's because his books never really took off the way they wanted them to. So they were trying to build buzz any way they could. And
but events is not the way to do it. Suffered the most.
Yeah, all the Superman stuff fell flat. The Action Comics.
I want to like Superman.
Yeah, I do too.
They're just, you know what? Superman had the most shuffle of writers too, though.
Yeah.
Like if you look at through the new, just the New 52 in the last like 3 years, there's something like 7 different people have written.
Well, the books
Superman.
That we said were good: Batman, Wonder Woman, Animal Man. The one thing they all had in common is a solid creative team, consistency with the creative team. That's when the book was good.
Yeah.
When the creator was on there and able to tell the story they wanted to tell.
Even with Grant Morrison's run, they had to switch out Rags Morales for a bunch of different
things. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, I guess Wonder Woman, they kept switching back between Chang and...
And they switched,
that wasn't
on, but, you know, and they switched on Batman, too, but it was still consistent. You know, it wasn't just, okay, this team's gone, now a new team.
Look at Hickman's run on the Avengers. There's a different artist every 3 issues.
But having the story was...
But consistently having the same writer for more than 5 issues.
That's a good point.
But that was the problem with Superman, or a lot of heroes in New 52, is, my gosh, how many times are you going to shuffle the deck on the writing team?
Yeah. What else from Free Comic Book Day? Is there any indie stuff we're looking forward to? We mentioned 4001. Is it 4001?
Yeah, 4001. Yeah, 4001.
From Bob Burger's Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing that for 4 years.
Yeah, and I love them. They're always great. Yeah, it's a fun little popcorn series if you're not reading it.
Yeah. I've read a few of them.
Yeah,
it's fun to read between serious books because it gives you a mental break.
Brainwash. Yep.
Some Gene musicals are always
palette
good.
Palette cleanser.
Yeah, palette cleanser.
Yeah.
What else?
I got a list.
What else is coming out for Free Comic Book Day that you guys are excited about? There's one book I was thinking of.
Some of the things I've enjoyed in the past are things like Mouse Guard. Free Comic Book Day stuff is fun often.
Like what?
Mouse Guard.
Oh, sure. They always put out a little, like an off-size.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a typical comic book size reader. A lot of times they'll have ashcan size books that are pretty thick.
Yeah.
You know, for Free Comic Book Day. I'm stoked.
I often get the Simpsons one.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Bongo Simpsons comics.
Yeah. That one's always good.
Yeah.
DC Superhero Girls.
Oh yeah, that looks sort of like a Scotty Young sort of design style, younger audience sort of look to it.
Looks cute.
Yeah.
Like if I had a daughter, I'd be like, hey, she's
well, I have
this.
A daughter, but she's probably not good.
Yeah, she's gonna eat it.
You remember we had, and Bill remembers this, we had that little trivia thing where we kicked its ass.
Yeah.
And I got the Korvac saga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hers now. She found that and she tore that shit all up.
That's awesome.
My 10-year-old come down there, she's got this comic, my comic book. I'm like, well, how many times you've read it? A few times. I'm like, well, then let her read it, man. She got it in her mouth.
It's a really good book.
It's a really good book.
I got like a Captain
it's a
page
Marvel.
Turner.
What?
I got like a Captain Marvel on the list.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is right.
Yeah, we had good times, man.
Good times.
We should do that again. There's another Captain America movie coming.
Are they doing another trivia? Because we should totally do that.
Yeah.
And own it.
Bill? I was like, I don't know.
It's
my site. I don't know.
I hope they ask a bunch of easy-ass questions.
Oh, come on.
We had some really hard ones, but then we were like, we gotta make it easy.
And you missed the one who's his mom, who's Thor's mom. Yeah, you'll never live that down, ever.
No.
None of us should, because we was a group thing. It was a group thing. Yeah.
Frigga's like the mythology name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always read it as Freya because it makes the most sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And what else? Free Comic Book Day?
Free Comic Book Day.
Anything else fun?
No.
Just the same old
Suicide
same
Squad
old.
Number one. The movie coming out.
Yeah, it's just in time.
I just
for the
can't
movie.
Get into that series. Yeah. They just never have a good writer.
We'll see.
They don't.
Yeah, Gail Simone for a while, didn't they?
Who?
No, they didn't.
Simone, they didn't. No, Secret Six.
That was Secret Six.
She does Secret Six.
My bad. Similar, but
yeah, different. Yeah,
that was good. There's an Assassin's Creed comic coming. That's free. I know that book's been doing decent.
That's cool. A movie at the end of this year.
Yep.
That's on Titan Comics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender's
Michael
playing.
Michael Fassbender's
playing.
Also,
what's his
didn't
name?
Didn't realize it was a video game franchise. She just liked the script.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He had no idea it was like a video game thing.
And then he dropped it immediately.
And no, yeah, you're probably halfway through production. Like, hey, what are you playing? Assassin's Creed what?
And they're like, no, apparently someone's playing it. And they're like, it's like, wow.
I didn't do any voiceovers.
I've never seen
it. Where's my royalty check?
I've never seen a movie game look this good.
Yeah.
It's not. What? No, this has been a game forever.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love that game. My favorite one's the pirate one where you get the sail of ship and your crew
sings
the sea shanties.
I dropped off. I never finished three. That's where I kind of dropped off.
You're lucky.
The Sasquatch mission.
I enjoyed two. I enjoyed Brothers.
Oh, that's the George Washington Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
It was so promising.
I
want to
play it.
Oh, really?
All the side quests.
The problems I remember were there was way too much random crap to do that didn't mean anything. The plot was pretty boring.
I heard the expansion was good.
The location was poorly decided on.
Yes.
What, North America?
Like Colonial America, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing to climb.
Yes, exactly.
Oh!
The awesome thing about like being in like Renaissance Florence or like Rome or like ancient Israel is like you get to climb these giant iconic buildings. I get to climb to the top.
I'm like, wait, what do you mean? That sounds cool. There's nothing to climb.
I get to the top of like the Roman Colosseum. I get to the top of like the Duomo in Florence.
That's
awesome.
These big cathedrals.
Yeah, you go to the top of St. Marco's in Venice. I can climb a two-story building and
you can go on top
America.
Of a tavern.
Yeah,
on the high behind the barrel.
A shack.
There's probably some like colonial history buff who is just like getting a rock hard hard on for the fucking like Boston
it's
Church
terrible.
Or whatever. But there's like nothing
but it's
really
two stories. Yeah, you can't hide. It's like I see him. He's right there.
I'm running through goddamn
the
open,
only guy in white.
I'm running through like 5 miles of farm country between assassinations.
It's terrible.
It's like
awesome.
It was a bad
you
location.
Get that? That's so bright.
I love the pirate one. I love the pirate one.
Recently, they did the one where you're in like Victorian London. If they had done that back when I was still interested in the series, my head would have exploded.
Yeah.
That's an awesome idea.
And you play as two different characters.
I hear
like,
the game's actually pretty solid.
Kind of like in Grand Theft Auto.
Maybe when the game's like $5 in the bargain bin, I'll give it a check out.
Sure.
But
like
I was so.
When the next one comes out, I'll try.
The next one comes out, the old one.
I was so out of the series by then, though, that it just kind of slipped completely under my radar.
I love the pirate one. I'll say it again.
Yeah, that series really.
I never played the pirate one.
I would just sail around listening to my sailors sing sea shanty.
It was so fun.
The one where you're in Revolutionary France seems like a decent location, although I heard that was buggy as shit.
I didn't play it.
That's
the only one I've played. Is the I mean, I've seen the other
one. Two is still my favorite.
But
I'm all about one. One was the best one. Playing in like Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Fighting the Knights Templar was so epic.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is so intense.
It was also kind of boring because there's a lot of story building.
There's a lot of story.
So you really got to give it time.
I like Mass Effect 1. I'm the one guy who actually likes
Mass Effect 1. I love Mass Effect 1.
Yes, everyone just likes 2 on.
Mass Effect 1.
They're doing another
one. Who's crapping on Mass Effect 1?
Everybody hates
enemies to freedom and goodness everywhere.
Nobody likes politics. God. Nobody likes the ridiculous.
Are they doing another
building.
Mass Effect? That's
yeah.
They're
that's
making
happening.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
There's lots of supposedly leaked footage with like
sorry.
Okay.
What about the?
There was a time when I would have said Mass Effect is my favorite game franchise.
I don't know if I
and Mass Effect 1 and 2 are still beloved games.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3's ending was so bad.
Well, that's
it was
it's like,
catastrophically franchise ruiningly bad.
Yeah, it's like synonymous with poor
bad handling.
And so I really have no interest at. I only have like a passing interest in Mass Effect Andromeda.
Well, the thing with Andromeda that bothers me is almost none of the people who worked on the original Mass Effect trilogy
are there still.
Had anything to do with Andromeda?
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems with 3 is that they tagged out the lead writer.
Yeah,
they replaced Drew Karpyshyn with Mac Walters, who was awful.
Man,
sorry if you're listening, dude, but you screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah. Maybe he is, but
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a map floating around for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes,
which has me super pumped because
that annoys
one
me because Red Dead Redemption is a sequel to Red Dead Revolver, so you can't call it Red Dead Redemption 2.
That is a good point.
Unless
like,
it's a prequel,
it should be like Red Dead Retribution.
You gotta stick to the naming convention.
Spoiler alert for like a 10-year-old game. Didn't he die at the end of it?
He did, but it would be a great game to see him.
They said it might be a prequel.
Become the villain that you turned away from.
As weird as it sounds. Okay. Red Dead Redemption 2 might be a prequel to Red Dead Redemption 1, which is actually a sequel to Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, Adam is completely right on this. That is a stupid name for that concept.
It's like,
it's still, I think, it's all rumored, so that will not be the name. It won't be.
They might call it Red Dead Revolver 2.
Why are you surprised?
They might go back to that.
Okay, just make it like Red Dead, like, Revolution or something.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just saying, Metal Gear Solid 5 exists, and it's a prequel to Metal Gear.
Okay,
first off, you cannot apply
any logic to Metal Gear Solid.
Exactly.
Or like Zelda.
If you are going
Zelda
to hold up
timeline.
Metal Gear as your shining example of continuity purity, you've already lost the argument.
It's the highest selling franchise that has ridiculous numbers.
But
I do
not
care about the connectivity in Zelda. There's a couple of games where it actually isn't rewarding, but those part it does not matter.
But that's my point. They don't ruin the Metal Gear games either.
Metal Gear is one story, though.
No, Metal
it's
Gear is
supposed to be, but it's convoluted. But
it
was
convoluted
in the
shit.
First
game.
It's
not
that convoluted if you play it.
My problem has nothing
in
to
order
do with continuity.
No.
It's just the naming conventions that they're screwing up that is bothering my OCD.
Yeah. No.
What about
two of my favorite villain of all time?
That would be a
video
foolish,
game.
Foolish name.
Psychomantis.
What about Uncharted 4 getting ready to come out?
Oh, dude.
I'm pumped.
Uncharted 4, they have a video out. You get to drive around the Jeep, and driving around the Jeep is much more rewarding this time, and it looks rewarding. And there's a winch on the Jeep that you have to use to get through.
Yes.
I can't. Oh, it looks so cool, dude. It looks so fun. I have to get a PS4.
It's 100% worth it.
It's only on PS4, right?
Yep. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to get
all
a PS4.
The Uncharted's on the PlayStation.
And they are fantastic.
Oh, I love just watching them drive around.
I just finished the remastered versions again.
Speaking of PlayStations and video games, I got the new Ratchet and Clank game.
Oh, a game that's based on a movie that's vaguely based on.
They make that joke all the time.
What joke?
That's good.
Ratchet and Clank's new game is based on the hit movie that is vaguely based on the original game. So it's a game about a movie about a game.
Ratchet and Clank has always had a great sense of humor, though.
Yeah, it's never taken itself seriously.
The game is a beautiful reimagining of the original game. It's made by all the same people who made the original game.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
that's awesome.
So it's kind of a remake, but kind of not. It's kind of an expansion of a remake.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really fun game, and it's hilarious.
I loved all those
it's
games.
It's meta.
Except for the one that's kind of serious.
That's okay, too.
Oh, that reminds
just
me that,
Ratchet game, where he looks Clank, and he gets, like, that intense suit of armor, and he fights in that battle.
Well, that reminds me that they're doing
that
the upcoming
game.
Death Battle is Ratchet and Clank versus Jack and Daxter.
Oh, Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
Not unless you go
I like Jack and Daxter.
Scary Jack.
When they first announced that it was going to be Ratchet and Clank, I was hoping they were going to fight Banjo-Kazooie.
I like Banjo-Kazooie
is a better fight for Ratchet and Clank.
Loved those so much. It's a Rare game.
It's more of a Rare. Back when Rare was making some of the best games in
Rare.
The industry.
They're not Rare anymore.
Yeah, they're not.
Dime a dozen now. But yeah, back when Rare was Rare.
Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie are some of the best N64
so
games.
Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark.
Oh, good.
They probably have, like, if you're going to name the top 10 N64 games.
Oh, Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Other than Nintendo themselves,
yeah.
Rare dominates that top 10 list.
Yeah, they do.
Aside from the games Nintendo makes themselves, like Super Mario 64 and Arcade.
Yeah, if you remove Nintendo from the N64 game list, you're absolutely right. Rare is top 5.
Yeah.
Probably.
They dominate at least.
So top 2 at least.
They don't maybe even say
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, Perfect Dark.
Oh, they do.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yep.
Easily the best platformer outside Nintendo.
Diddy Kong Racing ain't bad either.
Which one?
Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking Donkey Kong 64 was there.
Yeah, it is. Donkey Kong is actually a
I really like Beetle Adventure Racing for the N64. Just a lot of hidden.
Surprisingly good.
Surprisingly great. For a game that's basically a car commercial.
Yeah.
But yeah. Although the new Captain America Civil War trailer is basically a car commercial. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with
like
it too.
Ant-Man freaking out at me and Captain America. That is really funny to me.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Be
what else? What are we at? You want to wrap?
Yeah, I think
wrap it up.
To wrap it up.
Oh, is it my turn?
Oh. Yeah, final thoughts. Who wants to go first?
Jules.
What?
Why
is it actually
going
okay. Wait. Before any of you do this, good night, Elaine. For any of you.
Nice.
Good night.
But, okay. I saw a music video for a band called The Revivalist recently. Their lead singer looks conspicuously like Gomer.
Who is this?
It's a look up The Revivalist. When I was young, I think is the name of the song.
Okay.
The music video. Their lead singer looks a lot like you, except you know, talented.
Sure.
Well, if he has his own music video, I hope.
Well, he's like the lead singer of a band.
That's not. Yeah. That's not.
Well,
it's a good song too.
Okay. The Revivalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he has his hair all poofed out,
yeah,
when I was watching it, I'm like, man, it's fucking Gomer singing a song.
I was told recently that the like old back in the day, the lead singer of Counting Crows, if he lost like 50 pounds, would look like me.
So if he looked like nothing like this,
and I was like, what?
Just 50?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that dude's pretty big.
Well, you're pretty scrawny.
Exactly.
It's a combination of those.
It things. Is. It is. Yeah. It is. Jules, what's your final thought?
My final thought. Jeez Louise. Listen to all the podcasts we do.
Oh, dude, we do so many.
Outright.
We have a big network.
Try.
We have like eight.
Just try.
Like eight. That's a quote.
Yeah.
That's an actual number. Like eight, meaning we have five and we're about to get two more for seven.
And I
just to clarify, Gomer's the one who can't count.
Listen to
Outright Geekery Podcast. Oh, I'm excited to read like new of
them. That's a tagline. That should be like what it says on the website. He's got like eight.
Just about. I'm excited to read Transformers and New Avengers. Because Al Ewing is the Avengers writer we actually deserve.
Oh, dude, yeah. Coming off the heels of Jonathan Hickman being...
Yeah, you're like, it's
so great.
As okay as Mark Waid's run is, please be reading Al Ewing's books.
Don't read Mark Waid's Avengers. It's not that...
It's okay. It's okay.
It's all right.
But Ultimates and New Avengers are the Avengers books you actually want to read.
I don't know about New Avengers.
American Kaiju is awesome,
but he's the only one.
There's a lot more going on
first
in that
off,
book,
too.
Al Ewing is using the most things that Jonathan Hickman left. He has Pod on that team.
He's great.
Costa having AIM.
The Maker.
Dude, all of those two books are is like, I read everything Jonathan Hickman wrote. Yeah. He's reading Adam Brashear, like, the proper way.
So it's a good idea. Hickman leftovers book.
Well, no, but it's in a different way.
Ewing was like, dude, why should I, you know, move away from what this dude laid the foundation
if
for?
You
I'll
read,
just keep building.
Said, I would have been okay with the Maker being just dead. It's okay for characters to just be dead, at least for a little while.
Well, I think with not having a Reed Richards in the 616 universe or anywhere right now, I think it's okay to have his evil doppelganger from the Ultimate Universe
like,
as a hanger on from that destruction. Okay. If you're going to keep a bad character, he's definitely a good one to keep.
Yeah.
What other character would you have kept from the Ultimate Universe? Spider-Man?
Yeah, that,
and after
they done that.
And after Hickman.
Yeah.
He made that Reed Richards so
that Reed Richards is so good.
Yeah.
But no, those two books are exactly what you want out of Avengers books.
Yeah.
One's them taking on
science.
Yes,
serious
sci-fi. Taking on the high sci-fi.
And the other one's a fun one.
The other one's the character book.
It is.
The one's all about the integral
like
B characters.
I'm not going to argue
it's all about
it's a great
the integral
story,
B characters. The core thing about New Avengers is the B characters.
RID/Adjectives is more like the politics.
I'm not going to argue that it's a great book, but Wade's Avengers is fun.
Sure. Yeah, but Al Ewing's book is
arguably forgettable, but fine.
But it sucks
fine.
That they have all these
also,
great team Marvel members, and it's not that good.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the New Avengers book, I don't know if it's because he's only using B characters, but the characters read better in that book than they do.
Yeah, Hawkeye's really the only one who you could even come close to saying is maybe an A-lister
yeah.
in that book, and he's not.
Which one's the team of, like, the weirdo Avengers? That's, like, uncanny, right? Is
I don't
that
know,
the one
weirdo-
with, like, Deadpool? And
yeah.
That's uncanny.
No,
that's
Squirrel
that's
Girl is
team.
In the
Squirrel
New Avengers.
Squirrel Girl's on the New Avengers, which is the AIM.
But she's
Avengers.
Well, okay.
Too many Avengers.
Avengers.
There's so many Avengers.
There's too many Avengers. You're an Avenger, and you're an Avenger, and you're an Avenger.
But
I like those two.
I like New Avengers. I like Pod. I like the use. Pod was a cool
Pod.
Character.
Pod was a cool character.
That was
throw
around. Character. And
you could have kept Ex Nihilo or anybody
well,
or
cool
Abyss.
The cool thing about New Avengers is
how did you say his name?
Ex Nihilo? Nihilo? I'm not sure. Nihilo?
I thought it was just Ex Nihilo.
Nihilo?
I just always read it as Ex.
In there.
I just left off the last part.
The cool thing about the New Avengers is it spins out of what was happening at the end of Secret War. Before Secret War.
Ultimates.
Yeah,
Ultimates is touching on a lot of the Secret War stuff, too.
They're both touching on it because
Big T is back.
The
Takasa
team is the team that was with Thor and Hyperion on at the end of the universe.
That's right.
All I know is all of reality is
a
character.
That was a great issue.
All of reality is a character in one of these books.
Yes.
That's really all you need.
That's all you need to know.
Adam, do you have
a
final thought?
Besides all of reality.
So we're skipping from Jules.
No, that was my final thought.
I say
we started with him.
We're leaping. Bill, you have a final thought?
Damn it. You are not respecting the sanctity of the clockwise rotation.
Easy
Bill,
now.
It is your turn.
Easy.
Two things. I'm going to take a second and pimp Four Letter Nerd.
There you go.
Out.
Do it. There you go.
FourLetterNerd.com.
Traitor!
Second thing. Darth Vader last week.
Yeah.
One of the biggest disappointments. Such a letdown. The Jedi fight never happened.
It was like two pages.
They just, and like they built it up to be this epic battle and someone just pushed themselves into lava. What the fuck happened?
No one pushed themselves.
She like she jumped.
Spoiler alert. She was betrayed by her twin brother.
Okay, yeah, I thought I was behind.
No, actually, the cool thing to take away is that
it's like a point. Like they fought for like two panels, and then they're like, "Man, we can't beat Vader," and then they just left.
Yeah, that was
the one trying to.
It's been.
I mean,
they're
right.
The one trying to turn on the other one.
Vader's gonna use the sister to kill the brother, and he's never gonna fight the brother.
But who was she? Who was speaking to Vader when they were melted in the lava?
The girl.
Okay. I loved the part where Vader said it's only going to hurt for a second.
Yeah.
And it was kind of twofold because he's been through it and I'm fixing to run you through with my lightsaber.
Yes.
You know?
So do we think that was just a kind of like callous killing or was it a like mercy killing?
Probably both.
A bit of both.
Vader's
complex.
That's how you explain
He is. He's a complex guy.
he's got layers.
This
book,
he's very complex.
He is, yeah, man. Doing such a great job.
I just
job.
Did not like that issue. I guess that
was definitely the worst arc.
It was. The Shorun Tun War is what it was called, and yeah. It was not good.
It was definitely the weakest arc.
Relative
to. Still, it's still a good book,
the better Star Wars book last week.
Yeah,
that book was awesome.
Rebel Jail isn't all that impressive either.
No, we only have
dude,
one.
Dude, Tony Harris did the art.
Is that the Star Wars one?
Yeah.
Two issues of the Rebel Jail.
He didn't read this.
Yeah, we did have two.
Tony Harris did the art. It was like a droid wonder party. Yeah.
It was.
Now the joke is not as funny because we know why it's the red arm.
And it
is, and it's sad. Like
it's so sad.
It's got.
There's the one droid that says, you know, we don't really get to pick sides.
The evil droid.
Yeah, the evil
quote unquote evil.
Evil droid. He's like, well, who's to say you weren't an evil droid at one point?
I choose friendship.
It was so sad.
It was
a really heavy issue.
It had a moment.
He watches everybody die.
Every one of those droids sacrifices
himself. I know, it's so sad.
The reason I didn't pick up the book is because the thing is like, find out how C-3PO got his own.
It was
in the movie that was intended to be something no one cared about.
Yes.
But you know, that's the best part about
Han Solo, I bet you're wondering how it got my. No, C-3PO. No,
it was pretty much always intended to get the comic,
and that's why it was.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That was why it was cool because it was just some joke, and it turns out to be this extremely.
Well, the joke was
story.
That no one cared.
Yeah, the joke was,
and I didn't.
But I'm gonna tell you, it's a good read.
It's not bad.
It's better than you expect to be.
It's gonna like $5.
I think.
I also really like the art. I really like the art in that book.
Yeah, Tony Harris.
Yeah, Tony Harris.
Because that's the first time we've gotten a Star Wars book from Marvel that really had some super zany art to it. Most of it's been pretty photorealistic.
Yeah,
most of them are trying to be as close to Harrison Ford.
This one they let them kind of.
Yeah,
but that's what's so funny because Tony Harris does photorealism better than like most people.
And he's not doing it.
And he didn't do it. That was the best part of reading that to me. It's like, oh, I think it's going to be like Ed Chalkida. It's nothing like
Ed Chalkida.
Do it.
This week has a Star Trek book coming out called Manifest Destiny. It's a Klingon crossover with the J.J. Abrams
universe.
Crew.
Boom.
And universe. Yeah. But it's written in Klingon.
It is.
All the word bubbles, all the balloons, everything's in Klingon.
So... That sounds inaccessible.
It's very inaccessible.
You know what's the crazy thing? You know there's somebody who can read that.
Yeah, you can.
Super Trekkies, they're just like, finally.
And you can major.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah,
right. This dialogue makes sense.
The original.
Finally,
Klingon.
Someone's catering to me.
But
in Klingon, though.
But it's sort of more of like a collector's item.
Yeah, it's a cool
It's a $5 book, but. I like that. It's interesting.
That's cool. Okay.
I think it's cool.
It's well done. It's well done. IDW, good job.
IDW has been doing a great job.
Why isn't there a Star Trek More Than Meets the Eye crossover
so far this year?
It's the same book, basically.
What?
Yeah. More Than Meets the Eye Star Trek crossover?
Didn't they just finish the Star Trek Green Lantern crossover?
Oh, that's collected now? It's actually really good.
Okay.
Spectrum War, it's fun.
But that's what I'm saying.
Fun.
More Than Meets the Eye.
I didn't. I should send you the copies because it's really good.
Wait.
It had the
you read
Abrams
it?
No, I wanted it. So
I will.
Yeah,
I will get it to you. It's fun.
Why is it always Abrams crew?
More Than Meets the Eye is basically Transformers and Star Trek. Why isn't there a More Than Meets the Eye Star Trek crossover?
Are you saying that the crew of the Enterprise would be out there hanging out and
with
meet
the crew
Lost
of the Lost Light?
Light?
Because the Lost Light crew is way more interesting than the IDW Star Trek.
I was about to say.
But no, but the IDW, they use different crews at different points. I could get a TNG More Than Meets the Eye crossover. I want a Lost Light Enterprise D crossover.
I would love to see the Romulans
torturing. No, I just want to see Megatron have a conversation with Picard.
Oh my god.
Picard having been Locutus and Megatron having been Megatron.
And not anymore.
Them both having been awful people for a point in time.
Dude, I'm rereading.
I want that conversation.
I'm rereading or first reading. It's hard to keep track because I was all over the place. The More Than Meets the Eye book, I'm like on issue, whatever. And it has a Tarn.
Yeah,
talking
the first
about
time.
Megatron.
Yeah.
Like Megatron has like this thing that he's written, a manifesto or something.
Yeah.
He talks about, I only let my gun is my burden.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Megatron's got a really hoopty gun.
Yeah.
He wears it for a burden.
Yeah.
And he will only put it down.
Isn't that progress?
When it's not a big deal to put it down. When no one questions why you're putting your gun down. But when it's only makes sense for him to go through that. It really puts to heart
We're talking about like old school Megatron. He actually becomes a gun, so that isn't
true. True, true, true.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts?
Yeah.
The Transformers.
Yeah, there you go.
To learn about Megatron's gun.
I like the way you said like, finally, you saved him.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know.
He
actually has an awesome manifesto. There's no progress. Life after the Ark and Nominus Prime.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent title.
Every time they mention it, they give you something new, and it's just fun.
There's got to be a webpage with just all the thoughts of Megatron through that and how different he is now.
Yeah. That's like the best part about that. The manifesto becomes more prevalent now than when he first wrote it.
I cannot wait to see what happens in that damn book next week.
Yes.
There's like a Sins of the Wreckers book. Who cares? I want to see what Megatron and Tarn talk about.
We're going to find out whatever the heck happened to Springer, because he's the only one in that book that doesn't exist anymore.
World should have killed him.
Let's go.
All right. Well, see you guys next week. This was Tara Bill filling in for Lawrence of America.
Like that.